Hi, everyone, and welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Sophia Simonello.
And I'm Nick Rurkraut.
And today, I think we have a fun episode for you. We haven't really talked about the Oscar race in a minute. We've really been, I think, looking back in time and also, I think, recapping some of the fall film festivals. But now that festival season is over, new movies are coming out each week that I think will be more relevant as we talk about the Oscars, we thought it would be a good idea to just do a little check-in on our predictions. So we haven't given official predictions really since the summer. So we'll be going through the four acting categories, director and picture, and just, you know, talking through them, seeing how we feel. I think between the two of us, we've mostly seen everything with a few exceptions, a couple of really big titles that are still outstanding, but I think this will be really fun.
Yeah, I think this is a much needed update. It's one I thought we had actually done. I was driving myself crazy looking for an episode outline with this on it. And it, I think, was just that we had updated the website and gone through that a few times. And I do feel better about, you know, doing this today versus where we were in the summer. And yeah, I think it can be somewhat of a general conversation about how we feel about, I think, the big movies for picture and what that looks like in terms of those movies' lineups for nominations. Like you said, we have a few that we haven't seen. Wicked for Good is imminent, and we have a few other ones in November and then December. And that's when we'll start getting those critics' prizes and making us, I think, a little crazy with those winners. But talking about these today, I think, will help, and we'll see how this makes me feel after our conversation today.
Yeah, so let's get started with supporting actress. So my five that I have right now, I have Elle Fanning and Inga Ibsdotter Lilias for Sentimental Value. I don't know how I feel about that double, but we'll see. Ariana Grande for Wicked for Good, Tiana Taylor for One Battle After Another, and Glenn Close for Wake Up Dead Man. I know that I am just hoping for this to happen, but she genuinely gives a great performance, and I think it's still time where we can have a little fun with our predictions. And this category feels very up in the air, so I put her in here.
I agree with that sentiment. I had Tiana Taylor from before for One Battle After Another. I added in Ariana Grande for Wicked for Good, Gwyneth Paltrow for Marty Supreme, Wunmi Musaku for Sinners, and Inga Ibsdotter Lilias for Sentimental Value. My big changes here, I had Laura Dern previously for J. Kelly. I think a part of that is, like I mentioned earlier, how we see picture shaping up and if some of those nominees can get multiple acting nominations. I think, you know, if we talk about George Clooney and actor, Laura Dern, though, I think feels less so for me because she's giving a similar type of performance as Marriage Story, and she won for that. And I think that was better and probably a bigger role. So I think it's less likely that she shows up here. Ariana Grande, from what I've heard, and just from last year's awards run, is that she has a big presence in this film and I think could really be pushed for a possible win because this category is up in the air. Sentimental Value, I don't know about a double either, but with it having sustained praise throughout the year from Cannes, I think that could be a possibility. And we'll talk about other actors that will be nominated pretty much surely for that movie. And yeah, I have a few hope dictions. My real one is Nina Haas for Hedda. I would really love that to happen.
Me too. I need that to happen. I need a critics group or a few critics groups to just push her because that performance is incredible.
She's just so good. I didn't actually add her because I don't know how Hedda has performed since its release on Amazon Prime. I don't know if Tessa Thompson will be getting in either, and it probably won't have a Best Picture nomination. So I played on the safe side for this one. But what about Glenn Close? Because I would love to see that happen. I know we have some other overlapping as well.
Yeah, I think for me, for Glenn Close, it was one, like I said, I want to have fun still with some of these predictions, but also this is a category this year that feels really wobbly to me because I think most confident in Teyana Taylor right now because I think that she is kind of an anchor to that movie, even though she exits after the first act. You really feel her presence throughout the runtime. And people have compared the way that she functions in the story, Perfidia Beverly Hills, to Mahershala Ali's performance in Moonlight. And he ended up winning for that role. And I think the difference here with Taylor even is that we get that letter at the end of the movie. So we really get, you know, her presence and her voice back again and connecting with Willa. So I feel really good about her. I think she's going to be so much fun on the campaign trail this year. And then I think we can't count out Ariana Grande because of what people are saying about this performance. Obviously, I take everything about Wicked right now with a grain of salt because not very many people have seen it. But those reactions, I think, will come in the coming weeks and we'll also get to see it for ourselves. But I think just based on what we know about the role, the fact that she has supposedly a standout new song, I think we can't really count her out. And then when I mention it gets a little wobbly, I think it's just that we had a few names of previous nominees or winners where then their performances just didn't really get standout notices, like Emily Blunt and Laura Dern, for instance. And then with Gwyneth Paltrow for Marty Supreme, I'm just not quite sure about this one, just based on the size of her role and what she's doing in that film. And then we have a lot of unknowns or possible first-time nominees. So when that happens, we go to our veterans sometimes. And this is a performance that I feel like I could see just getting recognized maybe at SAG, maybe Critics' Choice. I don't know. I hope that it appears somewhere. So this is, I think, me just pushing it too, because she's doing so much in this movie. And she has just this killer monologue that I really loved. So that's why I wanted to mention her.
Yeah, I think Wake Up Dead Man is some of the most fun I've had at the theater. I hope they put this in theaters for people to go see. Netflix had trouble with Glass Onion, so we'll see how they deal with this next chapter by Rian Johnson. If you had to pick a winner right now, I'm assuming it's going to be one of your five. Who would you pick?
I think the reasons I mentioned just when I brought her up and how confident I feel, I'm going to go with Teyana Taylor. I haven't seen Wicked for Good yet, so I'm waiting to see that. But I just love this performance, and I think it's a really great way to recognize that film. But I'm also going to sound like a broken record as I go through many categories today, just like I did on our initial predictions episode, talking about One Battle After Another before either of us had seen it yet. But I'm going to go Teyana Taylor right now. What about you?
I'm going to go with Ariana Grande. I think a lot of people will be reminded about how they felt and how close she was in the race last year. And if she knocks it out of the park again, if she has that comedy and can sing, obviously she can, and has a really good performance, I wouldn't be surprised. So I think for right now, I'm going to stick with Ariana. Again, it's November. We have a few months, so let's see what happens. Let's move on to supporting actor. Of my previous nominees that I kept, I have Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value and Benicio del Toro for One Battle After Another. And I've added Sean Penn also for One Battle, Paul Mescal for Hamnet, now that we have solidified that he'll be running in supporting and not lead, and Adam Sandler for Jay Kelly.
So we had a little flip here because I love that you predicted Benicio first and not Sean Penn, and I predicted Sean Penn and not Benicio. So I'm keeping Sean Penn and Stellan Skarsgård from my last set of predictions, and I'm adding Benicio del Toro for One Battle After Another, Paul Mescal for Hamnet, and Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein, who you had the first time. And I know it was kind of a joke, But I think it's actually possible now. People are really pushing this performance and they're really loving this movie. He's doing interviews where he's talking about how he was in the makeup chair for 10, 11 hours every day. And I don't know. I can see Netflix kind of shifting their priority to Frankenstein. And I'm wondering if this performance gets a little bit of push.
Yeah, I wanted to keep him. I honestly almost did. I was thinking about the Academy, how I thought they would vote. Maybe I just felt some safety in veteran Adam Sandler. He's receiving some career prizes. I saw that he is receiving one at the AARP Awards, which makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Because we know him from when he was young doing all those movies. But anyway, I could see Jacob Elordi showing up and I wouldn't hate it. I honestly think he's maybe the best actor in the movie or best performance that we're drawn to. I know Frankenstein will have some tech wins and nominations for sure. So I think there could be some sustained love for this movie across these other categories. Even though I don't have him in, I feel fairly strongly about most of my other nominees, which we overlap on four of them. Do you want to talk about anybody else that you have in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the category placement for Paul Mescal helps his case here. It's funny because I also think he could get into lead if he were running lead just because of the way Best Actor has started to shake out. But I think that what Chloe Zhao and Maggie O'Farrell do in adapting this book is they give Paul Mescal a lot to do, where the role of Shakespeare in the book feels a little bit more like a cameo. Here, he's fully fleshed out and really borderline lead supporting, I think. And it's a really great culmination of so many of his talents as an actor. This is going to be a tricky category. I do think we might have a situation, though, where we do have a sweeper when it comes to industry. But there are so many performances here that I really do like. Like, if my five actually came to fruition, it might be my favorite acting category this year, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the last time supporting actor was my favorite acting category at the Oscars, but it's looking more and more likely each day that the five performances recognized could be my favorites, because if Benicio del Toro also gets in for one battle, I will be very happy. He's so wonderful and funny in that movie. And it's just this, you know, perfect calm, I think, in that storm. Mm-hmm. And in every interview that I've either conducted for that movie or read, he's mentioned. People love working with him. So I really hope that he makes it in. I think Sean Penn's performance is like the louder, crazier, more memorable one, probably. But I'd like to see the double nomination here.
I think this double is more likely than supporting actress. Who would your winner be in this category?
Not to bang the one battle drum again, but I think it's Sean Penn. I think that we're going to see a lot of support for this performance. It feels like when Christoph Waltz won for Inglourious Basterds or when Javier Bardem won for No Country for Old Men, sometimes that out there villainous turn does yield a win. And yes, it will be his third, but even though he's a bit controversial, I think that this performance is one that actors in particular are really going to support just because he is doing so much and just the physicality of the performance. So I'm going to go with Sean Penn. And I think that's another great way to reward that movie. What do you think?
I think right now I'm hesitant with Sean Penn. I want to wait to see if there is a sweeper happening. If not, I could see them veering for Hamnet or Sentimental Value. Hamnet could very much be in the top two or three running for Best Picture, so that could carry over with Paul, who has been nominated before and is giving a possible leading performance. He has a big presence in the movie. And then Stellan Skarsgård, Hollywood veteran, never been nominated, could also be likely. I could see there, instead of giving Sean Penn a third Oscar, I could see it really going either way.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we saw Sentimental Value, my sister and I were talking about this afterwards of just how great Stellan Skarsgård is in this film and how he's definitely an easier character to reward. That's not something that they think about sometimes in the actor category. Sometimes we see that in actress manifest. Like when you think about how people were talking about Cate Blanchett and Tar on those anonymous ballots, that's not something that extends to the men necessarily. But I think the arc that we see with Gustav, Stellan's character, is one that people in the industry might recognize and want to reward. They might very well see themselves in that character, and that can be a really powerful thing. So I think I'm just wondering what kind of narratives will catch on. But I think for me, Penn just feels like he's kind of in a different tier performance-wise compared to some of these. But it'll be interesting, like if it shakes out in either scenario, we'll have two former winners in Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro here, and then three first-time nominees. So we'll have a split between veterans and newcomers here.
Which feels very possible. I think because these three performances are so different, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is which way voters will want to go, or if there will be some sort of split and it'll be a more difficult decision near the end of award season.
So let's move on to Best Actress, another great category I think that could shake out in a number of ways. So the nominees I kept from last time, we have Jesse Buckley for Hamnet, Cynthia Erivo for Wicked for Good, and Renata Reinsva for Sentimental Value. And I added Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, and Chase Infinity for One Battle After Another. I don't feel good about this entirely. I'm just not sure, because Best Actress is really strong. I mean, it is every year, honestly. When you look at all of the performances, maybe the group of five isn't strong at the end of the day, but when you look at the eligible performances, it's always an exciting category, I think, to talk about. And this year is no exception. Where I feel strange is that I cut Jennifer Lawrence and Emma Stone, who still very much feel like possibilities, because they're both former winners who are giving really big performances in their films and who are actively campaigning. So it feels really tricky this year. What do you think of this category?
I think those two are very much on the bubble. We overlap quite a bit. Our only one that we don't, I have Amanda Seyfried for The Testament of Anne Lee, and you have Cynthia Erivo. I think Erivo could also take the place of Chase Infinity, seeing how One Battle does. And with this being her debut, it just feels huge for her to get a nomination for that. Not that it's not deserving. She has a big role in the film, especially if that film overperforms. She could very much be in there. Part of why I feel like I'm all across the board is taking into account distributors and Amanda Seyfried with Searchlight. They could really push her as pretty much their only lead actress in competition. I loved Rose Byrne, and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. I haven't stopped thinking about that. That would be A24. And I think Renata Reinsva for Sentimental Value and Jesse Buckley for Hamnet are locks at this point. I feel very strong about them. I haven't seen Hamnet, but Jesse Buckley has been at the top of the category for many months now. I can't wait to see that movie. I would love to see Jennifer Lawrence. I think part of the difficulty here is that a lot of these movies are very prickly and voters may not want to see them or have trouble finishing them. And Die My Love is very much in that category. So is Hedda, I would say, with Tessa Thompson. Again, I would love to see her get in. And I haven't seen Begonia, but I feel similarly about how that trailer plays for Emma Stone. So despite some of these people being nominees and winners before, I don't know if those films have the attraction that maybe we do for them or that we would like voters to see.
Yeah, I've had Amanda Seyfried in, and the only reason why I took her out when I was thinking about this list is that I think she will be a lone nomination for her movie. And that's a little bit riskier in predicting than going with someone like Erivo, whose movie is going to probably be nominated for Best Picture and a number of other things. And I think that's also just how I feel about Renata and Chase Infinity as well, is that their films just feel stronger to me. And I think as much as I love Rose Byrne too and her performance, I'm also a little bit worried about her just because I also don't really think that movie is going to stick in other places, even though I totally would put it in other places too. I think it would be a great original screenplay, nominee, editing. I think there are a lot of places where you could put it. But I think I'm just going to give her the edge over Amanda Seyfried because she's been everywhere. She won at Berlin. She's been at every festival this year doing Q&As and campaigning. Mm-hmm. So I put her here.
Between us, we definitely have really strong nominees. Who would be your winner if you had to pick one?
This is the easiest one for me of the ones we've talked about so far. It's Jessie Buckley for Hamnet. This is a classic Best Actress winning performance and role. She does so much here, and I think she's just excellent and heartbreaking. So, I mean, there are a number of people this year where if they won Best Actress, I would be thrilled, but I think it will be Jessie Buckley's Oscar. What do you think?
I think so too. I haven't seen the movie, but again, we've been talking about her. The movie has done very well. It won the TIFF People's Choice Award. She's a previous nominee. And even because they put Paul Mescal in supporting actor, because it's Jessie's movie, it's that character that the film and the novel were based around. So I think even that being done by the studio shows how much support they're putting behind her. And I think it is our easiest one so far as well. I think the only like maybe mix up we might have, not with winner per se, but if we look at the Globes and see some other ones getting in, including Jennifer Lawrence, my ideal pick is for June Squibb for Eleanor the Great. If she could pop up anywhere, because I think that's a great leading performance also. So moving on to Best Actor. Previously, I had Michael B. Jordan for Sinners and Jeremy Allen White for Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Those are the ones I kept. And I added Timothy Chalamet for Marty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, and Joel Edgerton for Train Dreams. I think Jeremy Allen White is lowest on my list because that movie's release didn't do as well as I was thinking it would do and way underperformed compared to A Complete Unknown, like we saw last year with Timmy playing Bob Dylan. So in a similar biopic format, I thought this would do better. Michael B. Jordan, I think Sinners will be another big movie that we're talking about when it comes to Best Picture. So that's also why I had Mosaku in Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm.
We could be talking about Supporting Actor potentially, but this is probably its best chance in getting in an acting category with him. And then the other ones, the one that's maybe surprising is Joel Edgerton. I love Train Dreams. I think it is such an Academy-friendly movie, or one that they would go for. And I mean, I didn't mention William H. Macy for supporting actor, but I think he could be an excellent nominee too. So if we're looking at multiple acting nominations and potentially screenplay or some other texts, ideally, then possibly Train Dreams does have a good path, and this would be a really good nomination for it.
I love Train Dreams and this performance. Train Dreams reminds me a lot of how All Quiet on the Western Front kind of came out of nowhere and was suddenly one of the Netflix films that people really connected with and responded to. So I would love this nomination. I don't have him in right now. We have a couple of differences. So we overlap on Timothy Chalamet, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Jeremy Allen White. I agree with you. Jeremy Allen White, his stock is falling a little bit just because of how that movie is performing. I have Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. I am not as high on The Secret Agent as some, but I think he has a really great shot at winning the Golden Globe, just like Fernando Torres did last year. And that could really catapult him into the rest of the season. He's also campaigning a lot and people really like this performance. That's my favorite part of The Secret Agent for sure. And then I have Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon. One, I think this is a fantastic performance, but he's playing a real person. The Academy really likes that. It's a showcase for his performance, this movie is. And it just feels, I think, very Academy friendly, very actor friendly. And it has Sony Pictures Classics behind it. They are typically more successful with actress campaigns than actor campaigns. But I don't know. I could see a possibility here for him. And I will be rooting for that to happen. I think it's a great performance. I think his performance and Joel Edgerton, they're kind of these dark horse candidates and possible paths we could see playing out. So I like both of these from us alongside, I think, the favorites that we have here.
The other one I have, which is a similar conversation as Wagner Moura, which I agree about, is George Clooney. It's George Clooney playing J. Kelly, playing George Clooney, which is so funny. But if that movie ends up being a big Netflix player, we could see George Clooney getting in. He hasn't been nominated in a long time, but that's probably the closest runner-up I would have for this category.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we can just come out and say it. Like, this is the Leonardo DiCaprio and Timothée Chalamet show. Like, that's the narrative this year, which I think is cool. It's a very different kind of narrative, you know, than we had last year, which was Adrian Brody's return to the Oscars versus Timothée Chalamet trying to break his record by mere months as the youngest person to win Best Actor. That didn't happen, but it's a very different kind of race this year. And I'm so curious to see how it pans out, because I know you haven't seen Marty Supreme yet, but I'm excited to talk to you about this performance because it's a lot. It's very, very different from what he's doing in A Complete Unknown. So I imagine you have those two as your top two, but who do you have winning right now? And I guess, how do you feel about that as a showdown this season?
I do agree about the showdown. I have them two at the top. I think it's another fun showdown between an Oscar winner and Timothée Chalamet. This could just be what happens time and again at the Oscars with him if he ends up not winning. What you said about his performance scares me a little bit. And maybe knowing this is by a Safdie who made Uncut Gems and that's what you compared it to. And Adam Sandler didn't get in and he was giving a really good performance. So this may end up not happening. I have Chalamet winning right now because I think the big difference between One Battle and The Brutalist was that Adrian Brody was giving the performance of the year. And we're not really saying that about DiCaprio. We're saying the movie is incredible. It has great actress performances, supporting actress, supporting actor. You know, it's this holistic view that it's a wonderful film, but we're not really singling out Leo. And that maybe makes me feel that there's more of a chance for Timmy to come in. So I think it's still close. It will be the whole season unless maybe Michael B. Jordan comes in and we end up talking about how he's playing two people. And I don't know. But right now I have that. Is this another One Battle win for you? Is this 3 out of 4?
It is. I'm so sorry. Here's why. I think we'll just split this category like they might this season. You know, I do think Timmy could win. I don't think it's out of the question to predict that. But, you know, where I am with it right now is just that I think that if Chalamet wins, he will be the only win for Marty Supreme. And that's very possible. We've seen that happen before. But we've also seen, in fractured years, a lead actor or actress win come along with picture. Frances McDormand in Nomadland, Michelle Yeoh in Everything Everywhere All at Once, Mikey Madison in Anora. Those sorts of wins happen in fractured years because we see just the, and even Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, you see the support coalesce around the film as a whole, and then the lead performance also gets recognized. And what Leo is doing in One Battle After Another is also a showcase of all of his talents as an actor. It's comedic, it's action-packed. There's this tenderness to his performance as a dad that I just love. It's my favorite performance in his career so far. And I think it's very possible that he just scoops up his second. But what Chalamet is doing is also very loud. And there, like I told you when we talked about NYFF, he has a moment at the end of the movie that I think, despite his character being an absolutely terrible little nightmare throughout most of the movie, he does kind of win you over emotionally at the end, and that can be really important. So I don't know. I think it's close, but I'm going to give the edge to DiCaprio right now. Moving on to director. So my nominees here, from the last time we talked, I kept Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Joachim Trier for Sentimental Value, and Ryan Coogler for Sinners. And I'm adding Jafar Panahi for It Was Just an Accident and Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. There's some interesting stuff happening in this category. I really think that this is like actress though, and I'm going to knock on wood when I say this, but I feel like we have a clear winner and then it's kind of figuring out who takes up the other spots. And I think that with the way the branch has been going, we're going to see some international support. That's why I have Panahi and Trier here. I feel like Panahi, Neon has been running a great campaign for him, and he's been everywhere. The story around that film and around his presence this season, I think, is really inspiring. And I think that for Trier, Sentimental Value is a film that I think filmmakers will really respond to and that branch will respond to. So I have them both. And then I obviously had to add Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. I wanted to ask you, I think, do you think Ryan Coogler is vulnerable here?
Well, all of our nominees overlap.
Oh my gosh.
This is the first time this is happening today. The one that is also maybe borderline is Guillermo del Toro, who I had previously for Frankenstein. But again, I think if Sinners does really well, Ryan Coogler should be more likely to show up for director. I think after him, there's more of a drop-off, and that's what makes me unsure of who else would follow, especially if we're looking at the five strongest picture nominees. Mm-hmm. I also had maybe Kathryn Bigelow for A House of Dynamite before. You know, I honestly think she could show up in director, but that movie wouldn't really show up in many places. It's a troublesome movie. It leads to a lot of conversation, but I would say that her role as director is its strongest attribute. But I don't have her close to even Guillermo del Toro, I would say. Why do you hint that maybe Ryan Coogler is vulnerable?
There's this needling feeling I have where I feel like this could be like Denis Villeneuve missing for Dune, of this like big commercial success genre film that gets a lot of tech nominations. I have this missing in the acting categories, so not as much support with the actors branch, despite having great performances. And this branch just turns their nose up at the horror and picks someone else. And it's interesting you bring up Del Toro, because I actually do think he has a good shot of making it in. That movie's stock is going up every single day with how audiences are responding to it. Del Toro at Q&As. But I still have Coogler in, but I'm cautious about it. But there are also exceptions to this rule. There's, right, Jordan Peele was nominated for Get Out that year when we had that great director lineup, and Martin McDonagh ended up missing for Three Billboards despite that movie, I think, doing really well. We got that lineup with Greta Gerwig and Jordan Peele and PTA and Nolan and Del Toro, and I think we could see something like that happen again. But with this trend we've been seeing the past couple of years with Barbie and Dune, it just does make me a little bit worried, I think, for him.
I think what you're saying is totally right. And that makes me think that there could be a chance of some movie we're not expecting to come around like All Quiet on the Western Front and overperform. The reason that movie comes to mind is also because Edward Berger didn't show up in director. He didn't show up for a conclave. So in that way, it could be like Sinners, but we could also have a movie like All Quiet come in with other nominations like The Secret Agent.
Mm-hmm.
Get Mendoza Filho in there for a director instead of somebody else. So that could happen. I think it's less likely, but it's something to keep an eye on going forward. I think that's kind of smart.
Yeah, it's just like always good to be cautious. But who do you think is winning this, or who are you most confident in right now?
I think Paul Thomas Anderson. Chloe Zhao would be second, I would say. I don't know how far in second, but she has won also, which is a good thing. But I think that leans even more in PTA's favor. Him never having won, I'm sure he'll be happy if this isn't the only category we're talking about a win for him in. But yeah, I think that is more of the easy answer in this category too. Do you agree?
I do. I am really, really hopeful that this comes to fruition and he just sweeps the season. I have a feeling about him, and I have for quite a while now, that this feels like Nolan or Campion or Cuarón. Sometimes these things just, they happen in director. And I think this is the perfect achievement, really, to recognize him on in this category. And this is the only win I really need to happen that night. I think I just need it to happen. I feel like I've been waiting for so long, which is why I'm so scared. Obviously, like, anything can happen and it's good to worry, but this is one where I feel pretty good right now that I think he's going to win this Oscar.
Yeah, and I think director is the one that I want to see happen and not like screenplay or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like we've thought he could have won before. It just feels like director has to be it.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
So moving on to Best Picture, I have six or seven. There are some on the bubble that I'm not sure about, but of the ones that I kept, and this first one being one of those, is Avatar, Fire and Ash. I also had Hamnet, Marty Supreme, Sentimental Value, Sinners, Wicked for Good, and Frankenstein. And I added One Battle After Another, It Was Just an Accident, and Train Dreams. So what do you have?
We are 10 for 10.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, which is not great. I think my biggest switch recently was that I dropped Jay Kelly for Train Dreams, which might not be smart. It feels a little risky, but I feel like that Train Dreams is kind of picking up steam at the right time. And Jay Kelly, I don't know. I do kind of think it will play well with the industry. I just need to wait and see. Like, it feels like it could be like a maestro type thing for them sometimes, but other times I just don't necessarily sense passion for it in the way that I do Frankenstein or now Train Dreams, as being this kind of up and coming discovery that people are finding and just really connecting with it. I saw this a few weeks ago and it just totally knocked me out. And I can't say the same for Jay Kelly. And I'm not as high on Frankenstein as others, but I think it's walking in the door, possibly winning a few techs. And anytime I think you see that kind of support in those below the line categories, you have to think, okay, well, could it show up in picture? Does it have enough support? And when I think about which film is more likely to receive number one votes, Frankenstein or Jay Kelly in the Netflix slate, I go with Frankenstein. So those are some switches that I made. And then I think the others, it's really kind of just, you know, for me, I just dropped from my original predictions Begonia and Jay Kelly. And then I added Train Dreams and Avatar, Fire and Ash. You were right about that one. I'm going to put it in. We'll see how it is, but I don't want to bet against James Cameron. And I think it's going to make like $2 billion or something like that. So it's just probably for the best to put it in. And then I also added It Was Just an Accident. So I didn't have that last time, which was probably unwise because it won the Palme d'Or. But that's also getting support. And I think that movie and Sentimental Value will be duking it out for international feature. But I also think that original screenplay could be a great place to reward Panahi. So I think it's really strong and it's here. So I'm feeling pretty good about this 10. I think some things could maybe shift around, but I'm feeling pretty good about most of these.
I think my big question is, over the next 3 weeks, we see 3 movies hit Netflix. Friday, mm-hmm. as of release of this episode, we have Frankenstein. The following week, we have Jake Kelly. And the following week, we have Train Dreams. So not that its release on the platform will tell us much, but I think that might help with seeing how well they do and how much they're talked about, especially with how we see them doing critically and or any limited releases in theaters. I think that's why I also took Jake Kelly out and have Frankenstein on the bubble, because of what we've talked about so far. And I think just going with my performances and really just doubling down of what I put in or took out and relating that to picture. I mean, something else I would love to see, I know Rian Johnson hasn't shown up in picture before, but Wake Up Dead Man would be really fun, especially if we're looking at other nominations. I think screenplay will be more likely, but screenplay is looking incredibly packed, especially mm-hmm. original, which is a good thing. So we could really see a lot of people duking it out there. And then with Avatar, I don't know. I agree about Cameron. I think this movie will do numbers. I'm scared, though, because it's the third in a series. So I agree overall that I think we're pretty set on maybe like 7-8 of them. And we could see some last minute changes. But overall, I'm feeling confident on this bunch.
Yeah. And what would your number one be?
I think at the top, we have One Battle After Another and Hamnet. Those are our big two. I think Sentimental Value might be close, or Sinners further down the line, but I think it's One Battle. What about you?
I also have One Battle at number one. I feel like this is right now for me just the clear front runner. I think where I can see it winning DGA, SAG Ensemble, PGA. I think it has everything it needs, really, just in terms of narrative and just support in the industry. I mean, if you watch any red carpet interview or junket interview with talent lately, and they're asked, what is the last great thing you've seen, or what's a movie that you've loved recently? They are all saying One Battle After Another. It feels unanimous. And that's dangerous and scary, especially for a PTA fan like me. But I definitely think it has the edge right now. And I think that Hamnet, with all of its audience prizes it's won so far at festivals, is a strong number two. I think they just represent very different types of films and winners that we've seen in Academy history. I think that One Battle feels much more like a new era winner, but also like a classic winner at the same time. It's a huge epic, but Hamnet feels like a more traditional, old school type of movie that would win. If Harvey Weinstein had it and it was Miramax, I'd be terrified. I think I'd be predicting it right now to win, but that's not the case. I don't think it's totally Shakespeare in Love and Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I do have faith that One Battle feels like an epic in a Ben-Hur type of way. I know that's huge to say, but I think it has ignited a lot of younger people to go see it. And I think with the Academy starting to skew younger, that has also led a few of my choices today. So I think, you know, ending on this, I know you've given One Battle 5 out of your 6 categories today, but that could very much be the case in March. So that may not be crazy to say or think right now. And if a lot of you are also thinking the same thing, let us know. Let us know about any other movies we maybe missed or that you're hoping to see. Because I think right now we have a great list of movies. We'll be talking about them in the future with some roundups and our contender series coming early next year.
Yeah, as we get into the season, we'll have some more award season check-ins. We'll also review some of these films as they come out in theaters that we talked about today. Thank you all so much for listening. If you like our show, please feel free to rate, review, and follow. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, at Oscar Wilde Pod. And for bonus content, you can go to patreon.com/OscarWilde.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.